seem to have lots of cell phones.
Yeah, it is real matter. I can't even keep track of myself.
Okay. We said we were just going to finish up SIM and pay tests. SIM and pay tests at Dalit, which is, you know, really its own inyan. And fairly straightforward. Mishachal gvina rotzlechal basar, someone who ate milk and now wants to eat fleshik, or of course the other way around the same. Sarech leva'er mi'al shulchan shiurei pasha ochal ima gvina. He ate this before Shushalmi. Whoever wants ate milk and wants to eat fleshik has to get rid of all the leftover bread from the table. That's the first halach in Sif Dalet. Why? Because the bread might have gotten milchik on it, and now you don't want it to touch your meat. Right, according to the Ramah, that's the basis of the minhag of eating milk on Shavuos, that we should have to bring out one loaf of bread for the milk, and then we should have to get rid of it and bring another one for the meat. This reminds us of the Shtei Lechem. Most people don't eat milk in the same meal of taking out two breads, so they don't make that. But okay, that's one halacha. Remember, I quoted to you where Moshe, the Agris Moshe said, I hope I quoted to you where it was, that this refers to the meat that you were planning to possibly eat during the milk meal, which you might have let touch your milk. But the meat, which is, you know, in the loaf in the middle, that you were not planning to eat at that meal, this halacha doesn't apply to. So, of course, you wouldn't let it touch your milk. Nira, that nowadays, if we have like a challah board or a bread basket in the middle, nira, that what's still in the challah board or bread basket is stuff that you weren't necessarily planning to eat with your food. That's why you didn't take it to your place. And that, I think that would be still be parif. But anything you took off out of the bread basket or the challah tray and you put on the table, like on your plate or next to your plate, even if you think it didn't touch your food, still, you were obviously planning to eat at this meal. You weren't planning to save it, possibly for later. And therefore, it's within this isser that since it might have, you know, you might not have paid attention. It might have touched the milk, you have to consider it milchik, or if it might have touched the meat, you have to consider it fleshik. Okay, number two. Halacha, second halacha. V'asur lechol gvina al mapesh ochle b'basur v'chein hefech asur. You can't eat cheese, meaning milchik, on a fleshik tablecloth, or meat on a milchik tablecloth. The reason for this is obvious. It's not found in the Gemara. It's found in the Rashba and other Rishonim, and it's obvious because things spill on the tablecloth, and if you ate milk on the tablecloth, you might have little pieces of milchik, and then your fleshik might touch it, and you'll accidentally eat basar b'chala. The Pesach Tshuva here quotes from Radvaz, who points out that nowadays we have a new invention called plates. If you eat on plates, then says the Radvaz, he thinks, may ikra din, since you eat on plates, you can use the same tablecloth for meat and milk. Because even if something spilled on the tablecloth, it doesn't matter. You don't put your food on the tablecloth. You put your food on the plate. And he says, and may ikra din, we're not worried that maybe you spilled meat on a certain part of the tablecloth recently, and it's still, like, moist. And then davka, you accidentally dropped a piece of milky food on the exact same spot on the tablecloth and didn't notice and eat it. When you're supposed to be eating on a plate and not putting your food on the tablecloth anyway. He says that's unlikely. And therefore, he thinks the ikra din, you could use the same tablecloth for meat and milk now that we invented plates. But, however, he admits the minig is not so, what he calls the chumra, the rashba. The minig is clearly not so. So even though the ikra din, we could have been making nowadays to use the same tablecloth because we eat on plates. Nonetheless, the minig is not that way. And he says that you have to at least turn the tablecloth over. Which probably something people don't do so much nowadays. Just not so convenient for us. Or get a different tablecloth for milk and fleshik. That's our minhag nowadays. Even though we eat on plates, we ikra din, we put them in mekel, we still have separate tablecloths for milchik and fleshik. Or sometimes we all have a table that they make milchik, and when they want to eat fleshik, they put a tablecloth, etc. If you wash your tablecloth, though, in a normal modern laundry, then it's parav again. The poskim will assume that even though our modern laundry is not considered the regular rules of Haggalah, meaning it's not boiling, etc., nonetheless, it works for cleaning tablecloths, and therefore, if you wash your tablecloths in the regular laundry, then you don't have to worry whether they're fleshik or melchik.
Even both the tablecloths at the same
time? Even both the tablecloths at the... you're saying is that even both the tablecloths at the same time, I don't think we'd be choshesh for bishul bas v'chol in that case, especially since I think we put detergent in our laundry, so it's probably pogim. So, and besides the fact, it's probably bas v'shishim, however much milk and meat is in there, so I don't think you could put both at the same time.
If you use the type of tablecloth, it's like, it has the type of material you can just wash down with a...
vinyl.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Can you be soaked on that?
So what about, like, washing your tablecloth between milk and meat? Or, for that matter, washing your table between meat and milk and meat, right?
Right.
So even though normally we'll see we don't use the same kalem for milk and meat, we'll see much later, and we'll see a hint of it maybe soon. We don't use the same table. We don't use the same, right? We don't use the same plates for meat and milk and for cold and just wash them off in between, etc. Since we eat on plates, then you could use the same, you know, table or vinyl tablecloth for meat and milk if you wash it in between, because we eat on plates anyway, and it's really just a chumrah to have different tablecloths. So therefore, if you wash it carefully, you wash it well, then you could use it, the same one for meat and milk. Obviously, that doesn't apply to regular cloth tablecloths, because those are not washable, except with a sponge, only in a washing machine. Okay, good question. Now, the third halacha here, v'kol she'en she'asor lachtoch gvina afilu tzonenes, right? This is also not found in the Gemara. It's found in the Rosh and other Rishonim. You can't cut even cold cheese, besak and shugil lechtoch basar, with a fleshik knife. Not only that, you can't even cut the bread that you're going to use for eating milchik with a fleshik knife. And as obviously the same would apply to a milchik knife. You can't cut meat, and you can't even eat the bread that you're going to eat with the meat. However, if you, there's something called ni'itza, we'll learn about it in a long time, or medium time. There's something called ni'itza. Ni'itza is like the equivalent of nowadays you scrub it with something, you know, with a hard sponge or something. What a ni'itza? They didn't have hard sponges and scrubbing in those days. They just had cloths. So one way of wiping something was, which the Taz mentioned, was called kinuach. Kinuach means, right, they also didn't wash things in sinks, etc. Right? They didn't have running water. What kinuach means, you take like a towel or a rag and you wipe it. Right? That is a very not-so-strong action. A stronger action is what's called ni'itza. Ni'itza means you want to scrub it with a hard scrubby many times. Oh, but they didn't have hard scrubbies in those days, so what did they do? Well, the convenient hard thing they had, assuming they had different ideas about hygiene than we do, the convenient hard thing they had was the dirt. Everyone had a dirt floor in their house. And the dirt floors were hard. I'm not talking about a plowed field, which is soft. Like, a dirt floor in a house or in many places was packed dirt. It was really, really hard. So if you stab the dirt 10 times with your knife, then you really, really clean it well, because it's like scrubbing it super-duper hard. So through ni'itza, that's okay. That cleans the knife. We'll define it more in a moment. However, the minhag is to have separate knives, and not to use the same knife and just do ni'itza all the time. The minhag is to have separate knives. V'lurshom echad me, one milk knife, one fleshik knife. Again, in those days, it was a big chiddush that you had to own two knives. Minhag is you have to own two knives. V'lurshom echad me, she'yo hacker. And you have to make a mark in one of them so you'll know which is fleshik, which is milchik. V'nag v'lurshom shel chalav, v'in l'shanas minhag yisrael. And the minhag is to mark the milchik one, v'in l'shanas minhag yisrael. And it's only a minhag to have separate knives, but you have to keep that. You're not allowed to change. If you're ever in yeshiva, you notice at home, you probably don't mark your milchik or fleshik. They're just different patterns. But if you're ever in yeshiva, you'll notice that the milk and fleshik silverware look like the same silverware. They're like the standard, cheapest silverware available. What's the difference in yeshiva? They have a hole in the milchik ones. Why do they put a hole in the milchik ones, not the fleshik ones? Because this Ramah. The Ramah says the minhag is to make a hole in the milchik ones, not the fleshik ones. Okay, I don't think there's anything deep to it. The ikkar is just that everyone should do the same thing. So the Rama says, the minhag is, you always mark the milchiks. That way, whatever yeshiva you go to in the world, you know the ones with the hole are milchik, and the ones without a hole are fleshik. They're based on this Rama. Now, exactly what is the halacha, what is the minhag? The tricky part here is that we talked about two things. We talked about cutting milk with a fleshik knife, not milk. Cutting cheese with a fleshik knife, and we talk about cutting the bread for a cheese sandwich with the fleshik knife. So now when the Ramah goes on to talk about the ni'itza and the minhag, etc., what is he talking about? Is he talking about cutting cheese with a fleshik knife, or cutting meat with a milchik knife, or is he talking about cutting bread with a milchik knife or a fleshik knife? So that is unclear, and that is a machlokas between Shach and the Taz here, right? That is a machlokas between the Shach and the Taz. What the Ramah is talking about, the Shach says that the Ramah is talking about bread, and the Taz says he's talking about actual gvina. So, lachtoch cholov. Let's, not cholov, can't cut milk. Not halacha problem, just it's not cuttable. Lachtoch gvina, and here we have lachtoch lechem, obviously I mean lech for milk, and here we have the minhag. So, says the shach, that to cut the gvina, that's what the Ramah is talking about. Says the shach that the Ramah, Mayri Bipas. The Ramah is talking about bread. That's a shita. The Ramah, after all, the last thing we discussed is bread. Ela filo hapas. The last line of the Mechaber is bread. So the Ramah is continuing. Mestami is talking about the last line of the Mechaber. Makes sense from Shah's perspective. So he's talking about bread. So what is the Ramah saying? To cut bread, you need ne'itza. And the minhag is not to cut even bread at all. Right? That's what the Shah says. The Ramah is talking about cutting bread. The Taz says no. The Taz says that even though the last thing the Mechaber mentioned was bread, but the main thing the Mechaber mentioned was cutting cheese. So the Ramah's going on the main point of the Mechaber, not the last point of the Mechaber. Also possible from a Shah perspective. So he says, no, it's lachtoch gvina that you need ne'itza b'karka kasha. You need hard scrubbing by, in those days, stabbing it into the hard ground. But to cut the bread, then you don't need ne'itza. So what's the big deal? For that, you only need kinuach. Again, kinuach is soft wiping as opposed to hard scrubbing, right? You rub it with a rag. And what's the minhag? The minhag is not to cut cheese. The minhag is not to cut cheese at all. But bread is okay. Just do your kinuach. So that is the machlok between the shach and the taz here. The poskim do debate. You notice there's a blank space there. What is the taz thinks the Ramah's talking about cutting the cheese. And what about cutting the bread? He tells you, kinuach. The shach thinks, no, the Ramah's talking about cutting bread. What about cutting the cheese? So it's not clear in the shach. The Achronim argue what the shach thinks about this. Like, how about, are you allowed to cut gvina with a fleshy knife? Here the Achronim argue. There's some who say, no, even before the minhag, even al pi strip din, you can't cut the gvina. Okay, it's hard to say who's right. I would think the simple pshat is, let's say it's machlokas, I think the simple pshat is ne'itza should also be okay for that. Or not at all. I think the simple pshat is no. He means that whether you're cutting the gvina or whether you're cutting the lechem, either way, ne'itza is a proper hechsher, especially since here he argues on this marshal, who, okay, the leader will point out, he quoted marshal maybe a little
hot and cold cheese, hot and cold meat, hot and cold.
No, we're all talking about cold here. We're talking about cold here.
We're not worried about using it. Maybe the meat will be hot. Maybe the meat will be right out of the oven.
No, that's not what we're talking about. The assumption is we're talking about someone who sits down to a meal, you know, who takes the stuff out of his knapsack, whatever. Let's assume we're talking about cold here. Good point. Let's assume we're talking about cold, right? The assumption is we're talking about a sakin bisari, and we're talking about cutting cold food. What about hot food? The answer is hot food. We'll get to later on in Simon Sadivav. Or Tzadi Dalit, a little Tzadi Hei Sadivav. Okay. The Sotz Machlokes, I would think the Pashup shot in the Shah is like this. But I can't prove it. That's certainly what it sounds like. It says, look, even treif knives, you can cut things through Ne'itza. So it seemed to be that you could also cut cheese with a fleshig knife through Ne'itza. What is the Sot of the Machlokes here? Then what's the Machlokes here? There are two Machlokos. One machlokas is what the minhag is. Okay, there doesn't have to be a sod to that machlokas. You know, just however you read the Ramah, like that's what the minhag was, and a minhag just is. There doesn't have to be a sod and lumdus to a minhag. This is obviously the real din machlokas. Can you cut bread through wiping it or not? And what does the Yesod and Machlokas seem to be here? What's the Svar of the Taz? The Svar of the Taz is, right, that, after all, if you wipe it, there's no more Be'en. There's no more actual Be'en Shmutz on the knife. Right? If there's no Be'en on the knife, then, first he quotes a Rashi Shantz, even if the knife gives taste to the bread, it would only be a napar, not it would be a secondary transfer. But he says, forget about that. If there's no Be'en, cutting with a cold knife doesn't transfer taste. Well, see, there's a dissenting opinion that the Rashi Shantz must have held, probably. But he says very poshut. He says, Kinuach removes the Be'en. Right? There's always two problems when it comes to kelim. One, there might be an actual piece of shmutz on it, and two, blias. There's a taste that's absorbed inside the kli. So he says, look, you're cutting with a cold knife, kinuach removes the be'en, and the blios don't transfer in cold. Everyone knows you put something on a cold plate, it doesn't transfer the blios. Right, everyone knows if I go to someplace and they give me cold food on a cold plate, then it's the plate is chazer treif, but they give me, I don't know, tuna fish and vegetables and whatever, and I put it on the cold plate and eat it, it's not a problem. Okay, we'll see sometimes. There's a chafila, sometimes not. But generally, we assume that it is not a problem. The question is, what is the shachold? So, the Nekudas HaKesef makes it pretty clear. They seem to be arguing about the din of Nitza. Says the Taz says, Kinuach removes the Be'en. Kinuach cleans off the Be'en. Ne'itza kashers the Blia, the Blios. Says the Taz, Ne'itza is necessary to get rid of the Blios. Kinuach, it removes the Be'en. So once you remove the Be'en, then you're okay. You can cut bread. Once you remove the Be'en, it's okay to cut bread. However, says the Shach, as explained in the Kudas HaKesef, he says no. Kinuach is enough to remove Be'en from plates. If you wipe a plate or a bowl with a rag, you can remove the Be'en. However, knives are harder to clean. This is a machlokas that will come up a few times in your daya. And kashers. We host to that side of the point. The machlokas says, what's the point of ne'itza? The Taz seems to think that ne'itza is only necessary to remove the blios, but you can actually clean the knife. The machlokas and mitzias, it seems. And you've actually cleaned the knife with kinuach. So you've cleaned the knife with kinuach. What's the problem cutting bread? While the shach thinks that no, you can't clean a knife with kinuach. You can clean a plate with kinuach, but knives are harder to clean. He quotes a line from the Rishonim here, the Tashmisho Tadir. It's not exactly clear what he thinks. Like, why are knives harder to clean than bowls? Apparently just... They used to use knives in those days. They used knives all the time for all different things, and a lot of things got stuck and dried on it, so they were very hard to clean. While plates and bowls, they only used once in a while, and they didn't let it sit so much, I guess. So he says, knives are harder to clean, and you need ne'itza in order to remove the, in order to just clean out the be'en. And therefore, it makes perfect sense. The Taz says, once you do kinuach, now there's no more be'en left on it. There's just a blia inside, and the blia is not going to transfer to the bread if it is cold. And even if the blia did transfer to the cold, it would be a kulikul, not barnat, which would still be mutter. While the shach says, no, the knife's going to be dirty if you do kinuach. The only way to get the be'en, the schmutz off the knife, is to do ni'itza. So of course you need to do ni'itza in order to cut bread, or else the schmutz will go in your bread.
Is it possible there are different types of knives, and the shach is closer to the taz isn't? Because otherwise, like Rabbi said, it is not going to be so I can check.
Yeah, it's a good question. I must admit, and here I apologize for my ignorance, it's a little hard for me to figure out. Like, I look at my kitchen nowadays, it's a little hard to tell also, because nowadays we clean everything much better than they did in the old days. Like, whoever just wiped something with a rag, right? I mean, maybe Bachar. But you wouldn't admit that, on a shidduch date. So it's a little hard to put ourselves in the shoes of people from a long time ago when they had very different standards of hygiene and they didn't have running water, etc. So I don't fully understand why it's harder to clean the schmutz off a knife than to clean the schmutz off of a plate. I'm not 100% sure, even though the Shach says Tashmisho Tadir, use it all the time. Not sure why that. But he doesn't say that. But he doesn't say that. I mean, not talking about serrated knives. They didn't have serrated knives. And he's not talking about holes in the knife. Holes in the knife are a different sugya discussed elsewhere in Siman Kof Chaf Aleph. So I'm not 100% sure. I will leave this a little bit with Sarchion. And again, you could always say it's not a machlok to Mitzias. They agree in the Mitzias. They just disagree whether this level of schmutz is halachically significant or not. Right? We all know how to play that game.
You can get rid of bleach with
need to? Yes, according to almost everyone. But we'll get to that.
When do we assume that a bleach would transfer through?
Only if you, the only time a bleed will transfer if you use a knife is if you cut hot or if you cut harif, sharp. Like onions. That's why onions are such a big problem.
Why does the eater require you to cut cheese?
Because according to the Tazimin?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. He doesn't explicate that, but I think the reason is like this, based on another Ramah we'll see. The reason is like this, because Kinuach cleans the schmutz off the lechem. One second. And therefore the bleas don't transfer. And even if it would be hot bread and the bleas would transfer, it would still be mutter because what's called not barnat. Not barnat means meat to kli to parif. However, in the we'll see later on, Ramah has a homer from the Mordechai that if you're cutting, we'll see in the next year, although it'll be in a while, that if you're cutting hot it's a problem to cut cold gvina because the taste won't transfer according to the Taz. But if it was hot, if you accidentally forgot and used it for hot, the taste would transfer.
So
and then it would be trade. Yes. They seem to exera cold
not
too hot in these things. And that's probably what the Taz doesn't say so, but since that's the Ramah anyway, probably that's what the Taz was based on. That's the Ramah we're going to see in the next year, although it'll be in 3 weeks. Okay. I think that's about it for Siman Pei Test. We're ready for Siman Sadi. Okay. Siman Sadi. Ha Chal. Chal is the udder, right? The udder is the organ that produces milk in a female cow. Hakchal, asur midivrei sofrim. It is a treif midrabbanan potentially. Why? Because it has, it's made of meat, meaning midaraisa, it's meat. That's clear, it's made of meat. But inside it, it has lots of milk waiting for the calf to nurse, right? The calf nurses, the milk comes out. So the milk must be in there before the calf nurses. So you shech the female cow. There's milk absorbed in that udder. That milk is only drabbanan milk. Remember, so it's called chalav shchuta. Mida oraisa lo sevashal gediba chalev imo. We know that chalev imo doesn't mean it's only usher and it's mother's milk, mida oraisa. No, it's usher in any milk of a kosher domesticated animal, mida oraisa. But it has to be milk of an animal that could be someone's mother, meaning a live animal. A dead animal, which is mufka from chalev imo legamre, a dead animal is not a mother of anything. Therefore, that is only milchik midrabanan. So this chal is made of daraisa meat, it's an organ of the body, and it's full of drabanan milk. And therefore, if you would mix that meat and milk, it would be a problem, potentially perhaps, of bas b'chal of drabanan.
So we're not saying that the udder itself is like what we said earlier, horns or whatever other parts of the body that are
drabanan? No. The udder is meat midaraisa. It's perfectly good meat. Now, again, by their standards. You know, nowadays, it's like all the other innards of the animal that we probably don't eat nowadays, but probably perfectly good. We're spoiled. And that's very important, meaning, if you would cook the udder, Chaim, and it says this a little later on, if you would cook the Rashba says this, and I think it's in one of the Sekelim on the Shulchan Aruch, but the Rashba, if you would cook the udder in a pot of milk, that would be treif midaraisa, because the udder is real meat minatorah. And if you cook it in milk from Rami Levi, you know, tznuva milk, then that would be treif midaraisa. Only if you cook the udder with meat, that's only drabanan, because the milk in the udder is only drabanan milk. Okay.
Is the milk absorbed in the udder? If you cut the udder open, you're going to have liquid milk, or it's absorbed into the thing if you either squeeze it or suck it, or I don't know.
So it it seems from, I have to admit, I didn't do my homework properly, I didn't actually get my hands on an udder, but it seems from the description like gam v'gam, and that's clearly the way the Achronim and some of the Rishonim describe it. They say there's kanos and then there's nivla, right? So the way, again, I didn't check out the udder myself, but based on what I saw in the Rishonim and Achronim, it seems that there's both. There's milk that, now obviously it depends on the circumstances, because halachically we say, we weren't discussed it, that it makes no difference whether the cow is actually nursing or not halachically. Maybe that's a little plug. Obviously, I would assume that in reality, in Metzias, biologically, it probably makes a big difference if it's actually a cow that has a calf to nurse, or it's, you know, a young female that never gave birth, etc. But let's assume worst-case scenario, right? It's mamish, a nursing mother. So the way the Achronim and Rishonim describe it, there's one part of it where there's actually, if you just cut it open like a balloon and see milk inside. And then besides that, you know, it's a milk-producing machine. Besides that, you know, you could sort of pour that out, right? And then there would still be, right, you still have to squish it, right? There would still be milk that's just inside all the little vessels and whatever, and, you know, whatever you call the things that make the milk. So it's both. There's both milk that you can see that looks like milk in a sack, and there's milk which you don't see, but when you squeeze it out, milk comes out. There's both. And we'll see there's a difference between them. Okay, so it's a chash v'nisud rabbanan. The question is, she'ein basur shebash b'chol shkuta asur min ha-Torah. Okay, the question is, therefore, what do you have to do halacha l'maisa? And we know the Gemara, well, we wish we knew how many scenarios the Gemara is exactly discussing, but we don't. But the Rishonim discuss four main ways of using heat to prepare a dish. From Chal, what are the three main scenarios they're worried about? The most makel is? Way to prepare it is?
What is it?
No, not at all. Tzli is roasting. Why is roasting more makel? Anyone ever know anything about Malicha, etc.? Why is roasting more the most makel? Because in roasting, everything drips out. It doesn't get caught. Right? The same reason why... Okay, Ashkenazim have a few chumras, but certainly Mekor Adin. If you roast meat, you don't have to salt it first to get out the blood. Why? Because all the blood naturally drips out. When you roast things, that's what happens. Roasting makes all the liquids drip out, and they don't go back in. Because the definition of roasting is that it's on a grill, right? And it just goes down and pulls in the coals and gets evaporated. Right, so roasting is the most makel. Cooking is more machmir. Because when you cook, whatever comes out is stuck in the pot. And then goes back in, right? When you cook... If you cook meat with blood without salting it first, right, the blood goes out into the water and then goes back in and traces up your food. Likewise, if you cook the chal in a pot, the milk would go out into the water and then go back into the chal. And the most machmir is cooking with other meat. Because cooking with other meat, when you cook it by itself, so taka, the milk will go out of it into the water and come back in. But it won't like seem any different than it started, because it started out with milk and ended out with milk, so it won't seem so bad. When you cook it with other meat, then that seems really bad because you put in regular meat and it comes out tasting like milk. And that's really similar to basur b'chalav. So the question is, what do you have to do, or is there something you do to be matur all of these scenarios? So here we have, you know, these three different scenarios. Before I read it in the Shulchan Aruch, let's just summarize. And there's a gazillion shitas in the Rishonim. If you notice in the Yis Yosef, I will try to summarize very quickly the shitas in the Rishonim and the main svaras. If I could just summarize the sheets of the Rishonim, these three things in the main svaras, and then maybe analyze one, Lumdish, Machlokes, Machaber, Marma, then that'll be a good summary of the simon. So first is, what about Bishul im Basar, Acher, cooking with other meat. So I'm going to start a little backwards, because logically it makes sense. The normal way to start is, what do you do with Achila? And then what happens if you mess up the Diyavet? Right? We'll start the normal way, not to confuse too much. So, Lechachila, what do you have to do if you want to cook it with other meat? Right? You want to cook this Kal with other meat. So, clearly, it seems like you have to... Okay, you want to get rid of the milk, right? Otherwise, you're cooking milk with meat. So, there are two main shitas. The Gemara says, what does the Gemara say? What do you have to do? Kriya Shtiva Erev. Shtiva Erev means cross, right? You have to cut it, meaning not just one cut, but cut it in X. That leaves room for everything to come out. And? Ticha B'Kotel. Smush it against the wall. Okay, the Rama already says. Doesn't have to be the wall, It could also be a press. It could be anything, right? But you have to cut it crisscross to give a lot of room for the milk to come out, and then squish it till you get all the milk out. That is the opinion of most Rishonim. Rashi, according to Tosfos and the Rush and others, Rabbeinu Tam, the Rif and the Rambam, right? So one shita is Rabbeinu Tam, the Rif. Okay, we'll leave it around for now. Rashi, Lefi, Tosfos, the Ode. They say Kriyas Shesi Ve'erev. This stands for Shesi Ve'erev, and Ticha Bakotel. There is a second opinion, which is Rashi, according to the, let's call it the Sefer Truma, an ode. That's more Makrashi. The Rashi, according to the Sefer Truma and others. What does the Sefer Truma hold? I think we mentioned once the Sefer Truma. Very, you see him all the time here, right? It's a sefer that covers like a lot of Or Chaim and Yordea, written by Rav Baruch Migermeiser, Rav Baruch of Worms. Sometimes in Tosfos just called Ravina Baruch, or sometimes the Rishonim Reish Beis. He's a Talmud of the Ri, the famous Ri. He says, nope, Asur Legamre. He has a different shot in the Gemara where he says, Taka and Maskana the Gemara, it's Asur Legamre to cook with other meat. There is no way Chazal permitted it. Okay. What is the svara? The svara seems pretty poshut. The svara, there are other ways to say. You know, there are always other svaras. If someone really feels strongly a different svara than I'm saying, feel free to shout. But I think this is the mainstream svara. The svara here is, well, you have to remove all the milk. Right? You have to remove all the milk. That you shouldn't, if you want to cook this with meat, you have to get rid of the milk. You can't cook milk with meat. How about Rashi? The svar of Rashi seems to be that really you do get rid of all the milk. Pashup shot. You could get rid of all the milk by squishing it, I think, according to Rashi. So why is it still usher to cook it? This seems to be a gzeira. After all, you are now doing it right, but next time maybe you won't get rid of all the milk. So they made a gzeira that maybe you'll mess up next time. So they didn't let you do it. That's the pashup shot, even though it's not foolish in the Rishonim. Okay, what about Bidiyavit? What about Bidiyavit? So, there are two main shitas here. One is Rashi and the Rif. Or should we go from Chomer to Kula always? Okay. One is Rabbeinu Tam. Says Rabbeinu Tam that even Bidiyavit, it's mutter if you messed up. Even Bidiyavit, it's mutter if you messed up. If you didn't fully clean it out, it is mutter. However, Bidiyavit, mutter im kara tzas. Bidiyavit, as long as you cut it open a little, that is good enough. What's the svara of that? After all, you didn't get rid of all the milk, right? Because the chachili, you have to get rid of all the milk. So what's the svara of that? The svara is, going back to what we mentioned before, there might be two levels of milk, two kinds of milk in the udder. What happens if you just cut it open a little? The milk that is be'en, the milk that's like liquid milk, comes pouring out. But the milk that's absorbed in the pores and capillaries and bronchi, or none of those are the right word, of the udder does not come out unless you cut it a lot, or at least X, crisscross and squish it. So what does this far seem to be? That Bidi Eved, that lechatchila remove all the milk. But Bidi Eved, remember, there's only Durabanan. Gazru al cholov be'en velo al hanivla. Bidi Eved, they were gozer Bidi Eved on cholov that's be'en, that you can actually see with your eyes. That, they were gozer Bidi Eved, the gzera cholov shchuta. So if you didn't tear it at all and you put it in with the actual liquid milk, that there goes a bidiyavid. But if you got rid of the liquid milk, you're just getting rid of the milk that's absorbed in the little holes in the meat, l'chachila, you shouldn't do that. But bidiyavid, they weren't gozer, since you can't actually see any milk, and it's only drabban, and they didn't make the gzeira. That seems to be the svara.
So when we say that when you cut it open and you let all the milk that's then come out, do you have to wash it also? Because like if you drink a cup of milk, you still see white all around the side.
That's a fascinating question. Well, you have to squish it, l'chachila, right? So the question is, after squishing, do you still have to washing, or does squishing do the trick? They don't talk about washing.
But even Roger Vinatah, he says, if you didn't squish it, you would say it's okay. But does he say it's okay only if you washed it out?
No, I don't think so. I think he would say that probably whatever's left is so small, either they weren't gozer on it, or it's about the b'shishin, even if they were gozer on it, and he wouldn't worry about it. It doesn't sound like you have to wash it out. It could be when you squish it well enough, that's better than washing it out, because all the milk comes out, and then the meat juices come out and wash that away. Okay, however, most of the other Rishonim say, like Rashi and the Rif, no, that it is mutter rak im kara shesi ve'erev v'tach bakotel. Even the Machmir and Rashi say it's asul hachila, admit that b'dieved it's mutter if you get rid of all the milk. And here it's pashut. If you got rid of all the milk, then it's at least mutter b'dieved, there's no milk. Right, you just have to say, Gazru al kol hacholod shebo. Right, no, the gzeres on all the milk, whether it's the ben or whether it's the nivla. Right, there it goes on all the milk. So if you didn't get rid of all the milk, then it's ram b'dieved. If you got rid of all the milk, it's okay. And even those say it's asur l'gamet chachila, but they admit if you got rid of all the milk, it's okay b'dieved. Okay, that is the first scenario. I think I have all the shitas. Second scenario is bishul levado. How about cooking it by itself? How about cooking it by itself? So here you have a machlokes. You have two opinions again. What do we always go from the makel to the machmer? Okay, so Rabbeinu Tam, he's the big makel in this whole sugya. Says Rabbeinu Tam, by the way, the numbers are not necessarily the shitase. I'm just starting there. It doesn't mean the ones all go together. Then it would be the same names, just for convenience. Number. Says Rabbeinu Tam, that what do you need? If you're cooking it by itself, kriya tzas. It's enough to just tear it open a little and let out the main ones. Why? So he'd say, this is Mila Shitas, he'd say, really? They were only gozer and mixing chalav shchuta with other meat. They weren't gozer on mixing chalav shchuta with its own meat. So if you just cook the udder by itself in a pot of water, by itself, by the way, is allowed to be with vegetables or water with power of things. It just means not with other meat or with other milk. Remember, if you cook with other milk, that's an issur d'oraisa and there's no lumdus. You don't need a simmon for that. So if you cook it, and if you cook with vegetables, that's not an issue. That's the same as by itself. The lumdus if you cook it with other meat. So he says, what's the svara? The svara is that lo gazru b'di'evet al taroves Cholav shchuta v'chal shenotzar mimenu. They really weren't gozer on a taroves of cholav shchuta with the original cow that produced it. Why weren't they gozer on that? Because it doesn't seem like basar b'cholav. Think about it. A cow always tastes like milk, right? It naturally tastes like milk. So let's say you cook it. And now the milk, it gets boiled in its own milk and tastes like milk. Its taste hasn't changed. It doesn't seem like cooking basar b'cholav. You just cook the thing itself. So they were only gozer on the taroves of cholav shchuta and other meat. They weren't gozer on the cholav shchuta and the meat it came from. That's one piece. That's not because they're mixing two different things. However, so why do you even have to tear it at all? You have to tear it at all. Aval. Lechatchila nireh kibasar b'chalav if the chalav is be'en. But if you don't tear it, it's going to be chalav be'en. And if you leave in chalav be'en, then it sort of looks a little like basar b'chalav. So therefore, the gzera was that it looks like basar b'chalav if you don't tear it at all, and you leave the chalav be'en. However, if you just tear it and get rid of the chalav be'en, even though we know there's chalav hiding there, that's okay. There weren't gozer on the taroves of the chalav that's hiding there with with other meat. The truth is, according to him, they weren't gozer on that at all. Right? We'll get to that. Correct. Exactly. And let's take the other shita, Rashi and the Rif. They say, no, you need the real deal. You need kriyas shesi ve'erev v'ticha bakotel. And the svar is obvious. The svar is you need to get rid of all the milk. right? That you need to remove all the milk. That's easy. L'chachchila say you need to remove all the milk. You don't need a fancy svar. Yeah, l'chachchila, get rid of all the milk. Like, why get into milk and meat, l'chachchila? Okay, what about bidyeved? I think there are only two shitas l'chachchila. What about bidyeved? So, bidyeved, I'm sorry, l'chachchila. Bidyeved. There are two opinions. Really, I should have put that Hesber down here. The most makel opinion, bidyeved, is Rabbeinu Tam and the Rif. Rabbeinu Tam and the Rif say, mutter afilu lo kara klal. It's mutter even if you didn't do anything. And the Svara I already wrote a little too prematurely on the board. So I said I should have started with Yevet, because that's like the real thing. And L'chachila is just the, you know, L'chachila chumras. What's the Svara? The Svara is... right? That B'dievet, even if you didn't tear it at all, you mamish cooked it with a sack of milk. It's mutter B'dievet. Why? Because B'dievet, they were only gozer mixing chalav shchuta with other meat. They weren't gozer on mixing chalav shchuta with its own chal that it started in. Because that's not similar to basar b'chalav. Similar to basar b'chalav to take milk and meat and mix them. Two things and mix them. To take one thing and just keep it the way it was. Now, I understand. It's not technically keeping it the way it was. Because the milk might have gone out into the water and then gone back into the udder. But still, it comes out the way it came in. That, they weren't gozer on b'dievet. That is the opinion of the... that is the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam and the Rif. Rashi holds... you could theoretically have other sheets. I'm just giving the sheets that we've actually seen. Rashi says, Aser, or let's make it parallel. Mutter rak im kara shesi ve'erev v'tach bakotel. Nope, it's mutter only if you did, theoretically, someone could have said as much if you did kriya katsas. Okay, but I don't have anyone who says that. And the svara is obvious. The svara is gozru al kol hachal of shabo afilo im hachal shenotzer mimenu. No, even b'dievet, there goes on everything. The milk in a kol is milchik midrabanan. Period. End of sentence, end of paragraph, full stop. The milk of the kal is milking your bonan regardless. I don't care if it's the milk that was the end or the milk that was absorbed in it. I don't care if it mixes with other meat or with its own meat that it came from. It's b'chalav midrar bonan, so if you cook it with the milk, then it's aser midrar bonan. Okay, these are the main shitas so far. One more case we have to cover is... what about sli? And even though the Rishonim do discuss sli with other meat, let's take for now sli by itself. Right? Sli, you understand, is much more meekil because whatever milk drips out doesn't go back in. So, what do you need l'chachila for sli? So here, there are... did I forget an opinion? Okay, I forgot one opinion, but let it go for now. Okay, tzli, there are many different opinions what you have to do l'chachchila. So, one opinion is the opinion of the Rif according to the Tor and others. Rifi, Tor, Ve'od. He says nothing, or actually, that's an ambiguous phrase. Lechatchila mutter b'li kriya. Not lechatchila, you don't have to do anything. That's how the Torah and many Rishonim understand the Rif. You don't have to do anything. Why? Same as, again, me'ikar din, certainly the minhag of Sfaradim, Ashkenazim, me'ikar din, for blood. Let's say you want to... okay, We have a problem nowadays, the Chachila, that first of all, Ashkenazim are machmer a little on this, that we want to salt a little even when we broil meat, and also that we then would use the barbecue we broiled it on for other things. But let's say you want to broil a meat to kashrut, meik or din, right? According to Sfardim. Let's say you were Sfardi for now, right? Forget the Ashkenazi chumras. Let's say you were Sfardi and you wanted to broil meat to kashrut, like you had a liver, which can't be salted, so you broil it to kashrut. Or you were just not in the mood to salt your meat. You shefted a sheep, you don't want to salt the meat, so you broil it to kashrut. So what do you have to do first? You don't have to do anything. The power of the heat of the broiling takes out all the blood, and you don't have to do anything else. Likewise here, says the Rif, according to the Torah and many Rishonim, the power of the fire draws out all the milk, and you don't have to do anything to get the milk out. You don't have to cut it, you don't have to give it a passageway, you don't have to squish it. That's what happens when you broil things. Like, if you ever see something broiling, like it drips, 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 the broiling just gets all the liquid out of something, right? And that's, I don't know, some chemist will explain to you why, but it's true scientifically. That's, of course, why we say meliach kiroteach, right? Salting is like broiling, because everyone knows that salting also gets all the moisture out of everything. I mean, halachic salting. I mean, if you would just take anything and salt it, like in the Wild West, how do they make beef jerky? They would salt the meat, right? Because it gets out the moisture. Okay, so anyway, that's the riff. And that makes a great degree of sense. However, there are those who are more machmir. There are those who are more machmir, Rabbeinu Tam, and maybe Rashi according to the Ran, right? And it seems to be Rashi according to the Ran, says Kriya Ktsas. Oh, what's the Svara? Sorry, we're supposed to give a Svara. The Svara is that the fire removes all the milk. Right, so you don't need to do anything to help it. Says the Rabbeinu Tam, and the Ran thinks Rashi holds this way. He says no. He says that you have to get rid of the milk that's visible, that's been in this liquid. So why? So he says because it's nira kemo basar b'chalav if the chalav is ben. If it's ben, it looks bad. It looks like basar b'chalav. So therefore, l'chachila, you have to at least get rid of the milk you can see. Rashi, according to most Rishonim, says you need kriyas shesi ve'erev, but doesn't say you need to squish it against the wall. Okay, what's the svara? What's the svara there? What's the svara? What's the svara of Rashi? That you need to even get rid of what's absorbed inside it. Why do you need to even get rid of what's absorbed inside it? So the svara seems to be pashtus. It's not always so clear in the Rishonim, but let's say you roast it, you do tzli, right? Some of the milk is going to get rid of all the milk. It might not get rid of all the taste of the milk. Some of the taste of the milk might still stay there, and we'll see that's not going to be a problem. B'di'eved, okay, we just have to go back to B'di'eved. B'di'eved, B'di'eved, I think there's only one opinion. The Isser V'Heter has a bit of a strange opinion. I'm leaving out two Isser V'Heters, if you saw in the Dark Emil show. B'di'eved, the Gemara seems pretty clear that it's mutter afilu lo karaklal. Why is it mutter even if you didn't tear it at all? So, look, I know, according to Rabbeinu Tam of the Rif, why it's mutter. Because even if it absorbed the taste of the milk, it doesn't matter. The mixture of the taste of the milk with the udder itself, not usher. How about according to Rashi? So the answer seems to be pretty pashut. Everyone agrees, miman of shach. Let's look at this miman of shach. You will see this in Hofbelicha. We have similar miman of shach. I'm not sure if we'll see it together. But what's going to happen when you roast it? Is all the milk necessarily going to come out?
Same as blood.
So when you roast meat, is all the blood necessarily going to come out? That might depend on how long you roast it for, right? Is it well done? Is it medium? Is it rare, right? If you broil something rare, all the blood won't necessarily come out. but it'll still be mutter to eat. Me'ikra din. And generally, as a general rule, whatever the mutter me'ikra din, svarim du l'chachila. That's the general rule of your day. The poskim say mimon afshan. Blood that comes out when you roast, and when you broil something, anything that comes out is no problem because it just drips down onto the fire and disappears. And so what comes out, comes out. What doesn't come out, halachically, doesn't exist. What do you mean? Blood that never came out of the meat, that's not halachically significant. The same thing here. The whatever milk dripped out and disappeared and went onto the fire and disappeared. Whatever milk didn't drip out, they weren't gozer on. They weren't gozer on milk that just stayed where it was and never dripped out and became its own chefza. Even Rashi says that they were gozer when you cook a chal in its milk, because the milk goes into the water and then goes back in the chal. But when you broil a chal, even if you broiled it rare, and there's some milk molecules of milk still in the chal, they weren't gozer in that because it never actually came out and became its own thing. So that seems to be the svara. What is the svara? The svara is hachalav sheyatza yatza, v'hachalav shelo yatza lo gozeru alav. What do you mean? Milk that started out in the capillaries or bronchia, or whatever the right word is, in the holes of this chal, and never even came out and was visible by itself, that they weren't gozer on. That's even for Rashi, for Rabbeinu Tam and the Rif. Ulefi Rabbeinu Tam v'Rif le'el pashut shemutter shahari lo gozru al taroves cholav shkuta v'hakal shenotzerbo. Right? Then it's obvious, according to Rabbeinu Tam and the Rif, that it's mutter, because even if the milk does get broiled into, and the taste of the milk gets broiled into this chal, it's no problem. They weren't gozer on the taste of the milk in its own chal, just in other meat. But even according to Rashi, it's no problem what falls out, what doesn't fall out, they weren't gozer on. Yeah?
I don't understand, what's the difference between
Shesi
and Kriya
Ksat? Ksat just means, very simple.
Like, what does it do?
Ksat means this. And Shesi Ve'erev means this.
Right, but what does it do?
What does it do?
Okay,
good question. It seems to be that Kriya Ksas, here it's a little funny, because there's only one sheet to here where we see, like, a real difference. Kriya Ksas seems to let out the milk that's the N. Once you make one slit, the milk that's the N is going to come out.
What does two do?
So if you're then going to squish it, I understand. When you cut it twice, when you then squish it, then all of it gets squished properly, because if you cut something once and you squish it, then it sort of folds in and of itself. If you cut something twice and you squish it, then it sort of opens up and gets squished well.
If you cut it twice and don't squish it, you don't really need to do anything.
Except for this shita, right? So why, according to this sheet, do you have to cut it twice? So it's a great question, meaning what is cutting twice better than cutting once if you're not going to squish it anyway? The only thing I can think of is maybe it'll get out some little drops that are absorbed in or something. Not yet.
Could it be that shiva is like this?
Doesn't seem to be. Because Ramah says, if you cut it many times, then even shti counts as shtiva, shtiva iriv, which implies that real shtiva iriv is only once. So, okay, leave that as a little bit of a tzarchia. Okay, now, let's just see, what's the svara for Rashi according to the standard way of understanding Rashi? Standard way of understanding Rashi is the simple pshat is that either what Shlomi's hinting at is maybe Rashi holds even the Be'en won't come out unless you cut it shtiva irif. Right? That's what Shlomi's hinting at, whether you realize it or not. Right? That's what you were hinting at, whether you thought of it or not.
Right?
That maybe Rashi just thinks you need shtiva irif to get rid of the Be'en, of the milk that's Be'en. That's not the way most of their achronim at least sound. But it's possible, right? Maybe he thinks, no, even the milk ban's not. If you cut it once, maybe it'll just close on itself and even the milk ban won't come out. But if you cut it crisscross, then it can't close up on itself. Like, there's no way for it to close up. It's too open. So maybe, or maybe he thinks that, no, if you cut it, Shtiva Erev, then even some of the ones in the little capillaries will come out, etc. So I'm not sure. It's a good question. Ulai, that's a great question. What does Shtiva Erev help? I cut it crisscross, but I don't squish it. So how is that better than cutting it once? Does it get out? It's not a good point.
There is nowhere here where Rashi said you cut it once. That's what I was looking at. There's nowhere here.
I know. That's why my talk makes sense. Ulai Savar, Dibainan Kriyas, Shtiva Erev, Kidei Lirokain, that's to empty, right? Hachalav Be'en. That's possible. Maybe he just thinks that, right, because Rashi never has such a concept as cutting it without Shtiva Erev. So maybe he just thinks he's more careful. Now, what's the machlok? The machlok is how careful do you have to be? It's a metzias or where you draw the line. Like, okay, this will probably do the trick, but Shtiva Erev will unlikely do the trick. So how certain do you have to be that you did the trick? Maybe that's as far as Rashi. Could be. The Rashba has a more machmer version of Rashi, which this is not going to help for. Says the Rashba. Rashi lefi Rashba. Well, there's only one other possibility. Kriyas shesi ve'erev v'ticha bekotel. Okay, and what is the svara? The svara is that l'chachila, you have to remove all the milk. You shouldn't have any milk with your meat, l'chachila. Even if part of it might drip out and whatever's left over goes around, but l'chachila goes or not have any meat, milk, right? L'chachila, sarech, lehotzi, kol hacholav. Okay, why do you have to remove all the milk, l'chachila? After all, whatever comes out will come out. Whatever doesn't come out there where it goes around. Yeah, but l'chachila, you shouldn't have any milk, so you shouldn't taste any basar b'chalav. Okay, with Shlomi's ha'ara, I will leave it at this. Let's just figure out how we paskin. Ready? How do we paskin? Don't take a picture of the board yet. Not that I know of. I don't think they sell kal b'zman hazeh. Like, I've never seen it in the supermarkets. Now, part of the reason is, because we'll see, by the time we get to the end of this, there are minhagim that are very machmer on how to eat kal. And so it might just be that we're machmir, and then most ways you can't cook it anyway. But I think most of the innards of the animal they don't sell nowadays. I don't know, can you buy small intestines?
Well, it's always found with milk. It always has milk.
So that's what's tricky, because the Gemara talks about a chal of a menika and of an ena menika, meaning a nursing animal, yeah, like a cow that's nursing a calf. Or nowadays, a cow in a dairy farm that's being milked. Of course, always has milk in the cow. But an animal that, you know, like a prepubescent cow, or there's probably a proper word for a young female bovine. But anyway, like, you know, a very young female probably, I assume, doesn't have any milk. Why would it have milk in the udders before it was necessary? But it would just be a low plug. Xera, okay, maybe that's what it means by Rav, Bika Motza, or a gedder or a gedder. Rav made an extra gedder. Maybe that was the extra gedder he made. Or maybe that was a gedder they made before Rav. Some people said, many people say that's the way Rav made an extra gedder, because he saw people were getting dangerously close to Basar B'Cholav. They were not respecting Basar B'Cholav enough. So maybe that was his gedder. That he says, you know what, you're going to start distinguishing between Kal based on what cow it came from. You know, you look at the Kal, you can't necessarily tell what cow it came from. So he made a little plug. Okay, let's see how we pass him. Let's go to the Machaber. Ready? Let's start again. Hakal asum divrei sofrim she'in basar she'in basar b'cholav shkuta asum in haTorah. Lefikach in kro'o umira kacholav shebo. By the way, why did I not put the Rama on the board yet? Because, not for any lundish reason, but just practically, because the Mechaber is the Rambam. He's quoting the Lashon of the Rambam here. Kedarko HaKodesh. He usually quotes the Lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam was his main Rishon, and when it's convenient, and he get his point across by quoting the Lashon of the Rambam, he does. So, he's quoting the Lashon of the Rambam. Now, it's not 100% clear what the Rambam holds about all these six questions we asked, right? Three scenarios, each one, l'chachil and b'di'evit. But we'll try to be medayik the best we can. Says the Mechaber Rambam. So, I'm not going to put Rambam on the board. You'll just know Rambam is the same as Mechaber. Hachal osim b'divrei sofrim. She'in bas shes bas v'chol shkuta osim ratorah lefikach im kro mirik hachol shebo motor letzloso ula ochlo. If you tore it and emptied out the milk, you're allowed to roast it. Now, look at the next sentence, it says, in pro shesi ve'erev. So clearly, until now, he wasn't tearing a shesi ve'erev, he was just tearing it a little. So, if you want to know, psak, the machaber would be right here, kriya, ktsas. That's the machaber. That's pretty clear. And the Rama. Okay. V'imkro shesi ve'erev etocha b'kotel. What if you tore shesi ve'erev and smushed it against the wall? Ashlo nashar b'l'chuskal. There's no moisture of milk even hidden in the pores left at all. Mutel of ashlo b'basar. You can cook it with other meat. Okay. That is right here. Right? To cook it with other meat, you need to kriya shesi ve'erev and smush it against the wall. What did the mechaber not specify? L'chadchila? What is not clear, l'chadchila?
Bishul b'atzma.
What? Bishul. What about bishul by itself? What do you need? He never goes back to l'chadchila. This is the end of it. So it's not clear, but you have to put it into one of these two categories. So is it more likely that bishul by itself was included when he says tzli? Or more likely that bishul by itself was included when he says cook with other meat? I think the answer is clear. Why, if he said tzli, it's hard to imagine that includes cooking by itself. Tzli is different from bishul. But if he says cook it with other meat, you could say he meant cook it even with other meat. Whether by itself or even with other meat, that's what the gross says, mefurish. In which case, he would be like Rashi in the riff here, makaber. According to the gross, he didn't say explicitly, but it makes sense, because you only have two choices in the makaber. Either he meant, if you just tear it a little, that's good enough for roasting, which also includes cooking. But if you tear it crisscross and smush it, you can cook it with other meat. It's hard to imagine that roasting includes cooking, like in all of your daya, and Aruch Chaim for that matter. Roasting and cooking are very different. It's easier to say that if you tear it a little, you can roast it. And if you tear it crisscross and smush it, you can cook it with other meat, meaning you can cook it, and you can even cook it with other meat, but it means all cooking. Just like add an afilu ki. So I think that's probably pashup shot. How about b'dievid? Uchal shalo kro. What if you didn't tear it? Bein shal ktana shalo inika, bein shal gdola. Whether it's of a young cow that never nursed yet, or of an old adult cow that is nursing. Asher levashlo. You're not allowed to. Cook it. Obviously, you're also not allowed to roast it because he said you have to tear it to roast it. That's parentheses is obvious. Meaning it's much of a diavet if you cooked it by itself. And obviously, and there's only one opinion here. Obviously. So what is he paskin to diavet? If you cooked it by itself, it is mutter even if you didn't tear it at all. Okay. V'imbishlo and basar acher. What if you cooked it with other meat? Then, mesharin oso. B'shishim, etc. Then it's basically usher, right? Now, which shita does he mean though, right? There are, 1 second. I put this in the wrong place. Why didn't anyone yell at me? I meant to put this here. LP. Okay, or even lefigra. Okay. Now, what about b'diavet? Right, lechatchila, what do we say? To cook with other meat, you need kriya shesi ve'irotif b'kotel. To roast it, you need kriya ktsas. Have it to cook it by itself, so it wasn't clear, but the gross seemed to have a good point. That's probably the same as cooking with other meat. Have a b'diavet. Roasting is fine without any kriya. Cooking by itself, fine without any kriya. He obviously holds b'diavet. They weren't gozer if the milk of this cow gets mixed with itself, only if it gets mixed with other meat. How about b'dieved if you cook it with other meat? So, he says usser. What do you mean? Usser, but if you tore it a little, it's mutter? Or usser, unless you did it the right way? He doesn't specify, but I think the past, you could read this two ways. You could read, ukal shalokro, if you didn't tear it at all, ... then it's usser b'dieved. But if you tore it a little, it's mutter b'dieved. Like Rabbi Natan. Or you can read it, if you didn't tear it the way I described, then ... it's asur b'dieved. It's not clear in the mechaber, which he means. He said asur b'dieved. Asur b'dieved, unless you tore it a little, or asur b'dieved, unless you tore it fully. Hard to tell. The Aruch HaShulchan assumes. This one, I'm not sure that I know who's right. But, okay, I'll trust his judgment more than mine. He assumes that he's not like Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, it's always reasonable to assume the Rambam holds like the Rish until proven otherwise. Anyway, historically, not a bad assumption. Okay, that seems to be the psak of the Mechaber. And what does it mean by Masharnas of a Shishim? If you cooked it with other meat, that's not automatically usser. It depends how much udder there was and how much other meat, right? If the udder is less than a 60th, then it doesn't usser the other meat because it's batel b'shishim. Okay, how do you measure a 60th? Like, how do you know if the milk in the udder is batel b'shishim or not? So, do you measure, like, the milk in the udder? How do you know how much milk is in the udder? So what does the Gemara say about this? How do you measure, right? This is usser. Right? It's mutter only if you did the full tearing. Otherwise, it's usser. What does usser mean? Usser means considered basar b'chalav. Like you put milk into your cholent. If you put milk into your cholent, it's usser. Unless the milk is less than a 60th. It's batel b'shishim. How do you measure? The Gemara is a famous principle. It will come up again and again. You have to measure the entire chal, the entire udder. Like if the udder is 100 cc's and the pot is 5,000 cc's, 1 to 50 ratio, treif. The udder is 100 cc's, and the pot is 6,000, the other food is 6,000 cc's, 1 to 60 ratio, you're okay. Why? Why do you need 60 times the size of the udder? Why not just 60 times the amount of milk inside the udder? Anyone want to help me out here? Good theory, but not what the Gemara says. The answer is because we don't know how to measure how much milk is inside the udder. How do you know how much milk is inside the udder? Like, you know how big the udder is, right? You can like see, it's this big. But the milk is like absorbed in the pores of the udder. How do you know how much milk is in the udder? Let's say the udder is 100 cc's. Cc's are a metric unit of volume. How do you know how much milk is in that udder? Probably less than 100 cc's, right? But we don't know. There's a general rule, which according to everyone but a funny Ravid, is a general rule in all of your daya. Misharin bekule. You have to assume the amount of treif in something is all of it. Even by do nothing, minei lo yadinan. Because how much came out of it, we don't know. We don't know how much milk came out of this udder. And therefore, you need 60 times the entire udder. Okay, we're going to come back to this mechaber in a second. Let's just skip to sif beis. Skip to sif beis. Here he quotes a minhag from the Torah. Nahagu. Shelo levashlo in basar klal. The minhag is not to cook it with meat at all. That's the minhag. Okay. Who is that minhag being machmer like? Who is that minhag holding like? Rashi is going to say for Truma and others, right? Mechaber minhag. The minhag is to be more machmer, like the more machmer shita, and not to cook it with meat at all. Ulevashlo below basar, to cook it by itself without meat. Betigun, or to fry it, because frying and cooking are the same. Why are frying and cooking the same? Because you fry it in a pan, and whatever comes out goes back in. It doesn't drip onto the coals. Obe pashtida, or if you make it into... Now, a very important, pashtida in all of Shulchan Aruch does not mean modern Hebrew. What is pashtida in modern Hebrew?
I don't know.
It's a kugel in modern Hebrew. Okay, if you don't know that, you have no chisaron in Shulchan Aruch. Pashtida, I don't know if they had kugels in those days. Pashtida in Shulchan Aruch and Rishonim means a meat pie. A pie. They ate everything in pies in those days. That was just the... It probably was easier before they invented plates. But they ate everything in pies back in the old days, right? You probably know some medieval texts that mention that, right? Sing a song of sixpence, a pocket full of rye. You guys don't know nursery rhymes anymore? What's the nursery rhyme say? 4 and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie, right? All right, I guess they don't have nursery rhymes anymore. I was a baby before the internet, so our parents told us nursery rhymes. Now they give you a smartphone. I'm not joking. They give you a cartoon or something. But in those days, they give us smartphones. And they give us, nursery rhymes. And those were good for our brains. We started to think, 420 blackbirds baked in a pie. Why would you bake blackbirds in a pie? So we understood. In the old days, they used to eat everything in a pie. And maybe because they didn't have plates. So pashtida is a meat pie. So if you're making udder pie, then udder pie is like cooking or frying. It's not like roasting. Why? Because whatever milk comes out goes into the dough and doesn't fall down and then goes back into the meat. Matzrichin kriya shesi ve'erev tichim v'kotel l'tzri u'litzli kriya shesi ve'erev. So what is our minhag l'chatchila? Right, the minhag for the mechaber, this is based on the Torah, right? Let's see. Mechaber equals Rambam. That's the makar. Mechaber minhag equals Torah minhag. The Torah says that's the minhag. Right? So, he says, and to cook it by itself, you need kriya shesi ve'erev of the v'ticha v'kotel. Right? So, whether we... The Orchasho, the Grom's Medayik, I think, with a very strong deal. That's what he held in Din. The Minig is not more machmer than Din, but the Minig for Tzli is a little more machmer than the Din, right? Shesi ve'erev. Okay, so the Minig is to take the more machmer approaches. And for the Mechaber, the Minig is only the Chachila, because we're not going to have a Minig to be machmer b'dievet. It's far, I've never heard of such a thing, a Minig to be machmer b'dievet. What do you even hug or a nice l'chachila? You're not going to say something strafe just as a Minig if that's not the Din. Continues the Ramon. So Beis Vim Avar Ubishlo. What if you violated the minhag and you cooked it? And here he means the Taz clarifies for us. And the Shach clarifies the same. In Basar, you cooked it with other meat, which the minhag is not to do at all. In Krosh, Shesu Eir Tachav Kotel Yishlahatir B'Dievid B'Makom Hefzid Meruba. Okay, so here I really should not have left out another shita. Here I'm paying the price of leaving out the Rav Yon, the Urzer Ruh, and the Yisr Heter, quoting the Darkei Moshe. Okay, I apologize for messing up everyone's notes. Their computer's no problem. The Rav Yah and the Urzer Ruh and the Yisr Heter, quoting the Darkei Moshe, said, Afilu It's usher even if you did everything right. That is a big chiddush. It's usher. It's usher even if you did everything right. What do they think? They apparently think that there's no way to remove all the milk. Right? Let's make ourselves a little. E'efshar lahotzi kol hachalav. Okay. And says the Ramah b'di'eved. We're out of colors, aren't we? Are there any more colors? Okay. We'll just have to use the same color. Says the Ramah b'di'eved, if you cooked it with other meat. Says the Ramah, b'makom hefzid meruba. He's the same as the Mechaber. As long as you cut it crisscross and squish it against the wall, that's mutter b'dievet. However, if there's no hefzid meruba, then even if you did everything right, it's still usher because there is one shitas yachid out there, the Rav Yod, the Orzarua, that there is no way to permit cooking with other meat, because you can't clean out all the milk. Okay, big chumrah. That's the Ramah. Let's continue. Avo b'lav hachi in l'hatcher. Without hefzer meruba, you can't be matcher b'dievet. Mashanagu l'koru l'chach l'cham pom shesu v'yeru pei kulu. Adif man yosu v'tichu v'kotel. And our minhag that we cut it many times, crisscross, we make many crisscrosses, that is actually counts as squishing against the wall. Making many crisscrosses counts as squishing against the wall, because I guess everything comes out. For tzli, the minig l'chachila shesu ir and tichu v'kotel, like this most machmer shita. So, where's the most machmer shita? Here. The Ramah says l'chachila. You have to even for tzli shesu ir and tichu v'kotel. Mihum aver utzla v'afilu below kriya shari. However, he admits that b'dievet tzli is always okay.
So whenever he says that shesi v'erev, a lot of it is it gets everything out. That means halachically, right? Not
yes. Yes. We'll get to that in a second. In nitzel chud b'basar imo, if it was roasted by itself without other meat, in nitzel in basar imo, what if it was roasted with other meat? In nikra shesi v'erev tachav b'kotel shnei mutarim, as long as you Then the problem is some milk might drip out of it and go into the other meat. Okay, but if you cut it crisscross and squish it against the wall, shame would tarp everything's mutter, because there won't be milk left. And if not, then whatever's on top is mutter, whatever on bottom is usser. Because whatever's on top drips to the bottom. Whatever's on bottom doesn't drip to the top. Okay, one cooler principle in this Rama. Don't say we usher both them because maybe the spit went up, you know, changed its angle. In the days of Chazal, their spits were vertical. In the days of the Ramah, their spits were horizontal, like our rotisseries. But still, one is like it could be slanted, right? One is higher, one is lower. So don't say, well, maybe it in the middle tilted both ways and they were both lower. Because we're not maxi yesher if we didn't see it happen. Avalachachila in lislosum basar klal. Lachachila don't roast it with other meat at all. Ulikder blo basar. Ah, last thing. How about cooking in a pot by itself without other meat? Noagabo isr lachachila. We, a minag is not to do it at all, lachachila. Wood in the tagina field blosa order. Fry it even without meat. Vafilin is yabish akhala even if it's dry. Vim avar bishl begir with a lot. If you violate the minag and cooked it by itself in a pot. But the evid mutter nikra shechsi v'eira v'tacho ba kotel. But the evid, it's okay as long as you cut a chesvi Arab and smeared it on the wall. Let's just put the finish up the Ramah. Says the Ramah. Let's just remember. The Ramah says, Lechachila, don't cook it with other meat. B'di'evit, if you did, then if there's hefsed meruba and you tore it crisscross and squished it into the wall, you can make it, if not, not. Lechachila, to roast it, kriya chesvi Arab v'tich of a kotel. B'di'evit, it's mutter. How about cooking by itself? Lechatchila. The Rama makes up here a new sheet did not in the Rishonim. Maybe. Aser afilu kara v'chuli. Lechatchila, it's aser to cook by itself at all. A sheet did not found in Rishonim. Bediaved. It's mutter like most makra sheets in the Rishonim. If you decree a shes v'ir v'tif v'kotel. Let's just finish up the Ramah. Okay, there's more to say about the case of roasting with other meat, but we won't get into it now. Miyom nisyabsha. However, if it was dried out, b'di'evid, the hainilach shloshim yom, if it dried for 30 days, then maybe all the milk dried out. Em avar bishlo, filim basar, but b'di'evid, if it's dried for 30 days, we assume the milk is gone, b'di'evid, not l'chachilo. B'di'evid, if you cooked it with other meat, it's mutter. Lasses bashtidim in a kabbal of basar. How about making a meat pie from the udder without other meat? Nagobo heter me'ino f'nevashtidim machbas. We're makel if we don't make it in a pan. Meaning, even though we wouldn't cook it by itself in a pan, and I just said if you make a meat pie, it's like cooking in a pan or a pot, but not really, because maybe the milk will just go through the dough and fall down into the oven. So he said, yeah, if you make it in a meat pie, not in a pan, then we can be makel, because maybe the milk will just go through the dough and fall away. Making a meat pie in a pan is just like cooking in a pot. The H Prusham Machmir Chopashtidum known as Yavashkal Kila, but some Machmir Prusham is like we call Mahadrin, are Machmir not to make any other pies unless it was dry for 30 days first. Yesh Machmir Shal Lefos Pashtidum Kalam Basar Tanar Katan. Some people are Machmir not to bake a other pie with other meat in a small oven because the smell, because of Recha, the smell of the milk in the udder will go into the other meat. Rakesh Lanich Echofia Tanar, just put one of them in the opening of the ovens, the smell has room to dissipate into the room. It's good to be nizr l'chachila, even though it's only a chumr. B'yalma, we won't get into that. Let's just summarize the Ramah. What the Ramah did is took the most machmir sheet on everything. Right? Cooking with other meat, most machmir sheet l'chachila, don't do it. And b'di'eved, well, there's a sheet that's yachin that says, usher no matter what you did. If there's no hefsim ruba, follow that. If there's a hefsim ruba, follow the most machmir mainstream sheeta. It's usher unless you did kriya shesve irtichu b'kot of tzli. Most machmer shita l'chachila, kriya shesve irtichu b'kotel, v'di'evid, there's no room for different shitas, mutter. Cooking by itself, most machmer shita b'di'evid, it's only mutter if you did kriya shesve irtichu b'kotel. Most machmer shita l'chachila is, don't do it at all. But that's not any shita. There's no room in the Gemara for that shita. There's no possibility in the Gemara of that shita. How could you have a shita l'chachila, you can't cook it by itself? That's impossible. So there are two theories. I have to be more partial to one. But there are two theories. One theory is the Shach and the Taz. The Shach and the Taz and the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef and the Shach and the Taz say It must be a new Gzeira not found in the Gemara. So, we just have to fill this in. What's the Svara? So one Svara is the Beis Yosef, the Shach, and the Taz. It has to be a new Gzeira after the Gemara. Are we allowed to make a new Gzeira after the Gemara? The answer is, we can. That it is a new post-Talmudic Gzeira. It's a new post-Talmudic Gzeira L'Chachila. What's the Gzeira L'Chachila? Gzeira cooking by itself, up to cooking with other meat. Gzeira, atu bishol im basar acher. Right? They made a gzeira after the Gemara. The Gemara didn't have this gzeira, and then later on, our Minhag made a gzeira not to cook it by itself, l'chachila, because you might cook it with other meat. That's one theory. The Gra has a better theory, based on a mefurish smak. That's what makes it a better theory, because it's really mefurish in the smak. Says the smak, hold on a second. Think about this, Ilan. It's aser l'chachila to cook chal with other meat, but it's mutter to cook it by itself. So I take a pot, and I cook the chal by itself. What's the problem? Well, hold on. Is it a fleishik pot or a milchik pot? Obviously, I'm using fleishik pot. So what do you mean by cooking by itself? It has the tam of other meat in it. And then tomorrow, when I cook other meat in it, the other meat will get the tam of the chal. You can't cook chal by itself. Because if you use a milchik pot, that's chazer treif. Right? Because you're cooking actual meat in a milchik pot. You never eat that. If you use a fleishik pot... And they didn't have power pots in those days. So you had to cook in a fleishik pot. Anytime you cook in a fleishik pot, it's like cooking with other meat. So it says the smak, when the Gemara was mati, the Gemara meant, don't worry, it's mutter if you have a chal pot. And then the Gemara's mutter meant people have a special pot for chal. Just like nowadays, what do people have a special grill for? Not nowadays, but...
Liver.
Right? Right? Nowadays, probably no one kosher's liver at home. But in the old days, everyone had a special grill for roasting liver, broiling liver, because you wouldn't broil liver on your regular barbecue, because you're not allowed to broil liver together with the other meat. And if you use it in the same grill, that's like together with the other meat. So in the old days, they had a chal pot. Okay. Yeah, it could be. I mean, how should I know? You know, obviously, if you ask me, 2,000 years ago, did the average Joe have a special pot for chal? Probably not. But it could be that, yeah, most people didn't eat chal. Those people who ate chal had a special pot for it. Maybe it was a delicacy. Maybe it was only some people liked it. And those people had a special pot. It's not crazy. Even though they were very poor in the old days, and they probably only had two knives, and that was a chumrah to own two knives. But it wasn't, they had lots of pots. Right? Pots are made of mud. Right? No big deal. Right? So they had a special chal pot. So says the smack, yeah! Of course it's mutter if you have a special chal pot. But nowadays, that no one has a special pot for chal, it's usser, because they never meant to mutter cooking in a fleishik pot. That's like cooking with meat. That is what the Gra says. The advantage of the Gra's pshat is that A, you don't have to say there's a new post-Talmudic Zera, and B, the smak himself said you have to have a special pot. So then it's not so crazy. All the Ramah did is say, I want to be makar like the smak, you have to have a special pot. But nowadays no one has a special pot, so I'll just say it's usser to be simpler. Okay, so Gras alpi the smak that im ein lo kedera miyuchedes lekhal, then it's keilu mivashlo im basar acher. That's the chap of the Gra. He says it's not that the Rama actually meant it's also to cook chal by itself, no matter what. There's no such shita. He meant it's also to cook chal by itself in a fleishik pot, because that's like cooking it with meat. And since nowadays no one has a chal pot, therefore practically it's also to cook it by itself. Okay, maybe that's as far, maybe that isn't. This is the shitas. Halach l'maisa, let's review what that means for us Ashkenazim. For us Ashkenazim, we don't cook chal with other meat at all. We don't cook chal by itself at all. The only way to eat chal is to broil it, like liver. And even broiling it, l'chathila, you need to cut it crisscross and smear it against the wall first. And maybe that's why no one eats chal nowadays, because you can only eat it in a very unique way, which, you know, might not even, most people might not necessarily want to eat it that way, and it's very easy to forget, and then maybe that's why we don't eat chal. But I don't think it's the real reason. I think the real reason we don't eat chal nowadays is the same reason we don't eat stomachs or intestines or any of the organs of the animals. I don't know, they probably just don't meet the modern health codes, or they're not up to our modern culinary standards or something. We still eat some of the innards, which are really good. So that's why I'm not sure. Like, we eat the liver, right? So I'm just not sure. Maybe chal taka does taste good and meets the health standards, and it's only because we're worried about the halachas. Or maybe, no, it's like the small intestines. It's just gross and doesn't meet the health standards, and that's why we don't eat it. So I have no idea. Go find a chal once, taste it. See, if it tastes good and you don't get sick, then you know the reason we don't eat nowadays is because we're just too worried about the halachas.
We said according to the Ramah, in the case of Hefsid Meruba, though, if you would do all those things and smushing and so on, everything, then you would be able to, even though we still have the issue of the pot.
No, okay, so you have to say it was only choshes l'chachila for the sheet that we care about the pot.
Well, didn't we say the b'diyeva, the Ramah says, also a feeling is not said.
That was not this. Okay, fine turn. Now, I just want to learn the rest of Sif Aleph with you, which is very longish. Someone's going to have to help me with the board. Yeah.
Is it going to stop?
I don't know. Which one is it? Okay, you'll develop a film for us. Okay.
You don't even know those ones.
Thank you. Okay, let's go back to Sif Aleph. Here's the most interesting part. What if b'diyeved, you didn't tear and you didn't clean out the cow and you cooked it with other meat? So let's see what the din is. What about b'di'eved? Let's forget all these shittas for now. B'di'eved lo kara hakal ubishlo im habasar. Right, you cooked it with other meat. That's very bad. Because basically you didn't tear the kal. It is full of milk, chalav shchuta, and you just cooked the chalav shchuta with all your regular meat. So that's bad. Let's go back to Sif Aleph where we left off. I apologize for this one jump. And let's go back to Sif Aleph by the Zion of the Gra or the Hay of the Baragola. The Mbishlo and Basar Acher, if you cooked it with, didn't tear it, and you cooked it with other meat, Misharin Oso B'Shishim, you measure whether it's more or less than a 60th. If it's more than a 60th, it's a problem. Less than a 60th, it's not. Ukhal min aminyan. And the Kal counts towards 60. What do we mean by this? I mean by this. First, we have this rule, Kal min haminyan. Why is kal min haminyan? What I mean is this. Let's say you have 1 ounce, I mean fluid ounce, right? Treif and 60 ounce kosher. That would be mutter, right? Let's say you had 1 ounce of chazer and 59 ounces of kosher. So is that batel b'shishim or not? It's a 60th of the whole, but it's not a 60th of the treif, of the kosher, right? You don't have 60 times as much kosher, but you have 60 times as much total. So what does Chazal say about this? It's very clear, that's usher. But if you have 1 ounce of chal and 59 ounces of kosher, or let's say busser, it doesn't have to be busser, it can also be parif, right? Busser plus parif, right? Obviously, you also count the water and the vegetables towards the 60. So, mutter. That's called chal min aminyan. The chal counts towards the 60 of the bittel. Regular treif does not count towards the 60. 1 ounce of chazer and 59 ounces of kosher is treif. But chal, 1 to 58 is treif. 1 to 59 is kosher because it counts as the one treif. It also counts towards the kosher, so it's 60 kosher. Kalman
of you. Before that it's considered
It's considered the whole thing is milk. So why is the cow min a minyan? Anyone want to tell me why the cow has been a minyan? There are two main shitas. Okay, the Taz quotes a funny Taras Chachas, which we won't deal with now. There are two main shitas in the Rishonim, the Rashba and the Rambam. Anyone want to tell me why? Why is cow min a minyan? That's not the rule. If you told me everything was min a minyan, then I would just say, yeah, that's the Chazal made the rule, 1 to 59. But no, Chazal made the rule, you need 1 to 60, not 1 out of 60. Keep in mind, the normal rule, not 1 out of 60 is kosher. 1 out of 61 is kosher. You need 60 kosher. But for Chal, 1 to 59 is good enough. Why? What? And therefore? What? Okay, I'm not sure what you're saying. Okay, there are two Hesberim in the Rishon. Says the Rambam.
The milk is only drop on it.
Says the Rambam, because it's only Asur Midrabanan. Says the Rambam, Isurim Daraisa, you need 1 to 60 ratio, 1 out of 61. Isurim Darabanan, 1 to 59 is good enough, 1 out of 60. Why? We'll see. There's more lumps behind this, which we're not going to get to yet. Because Chazal symbolically differentiated Doraisas from Drabanans. Okay, they made 59 instead of 60. There's an interesting Kesef Mishnah, by the way. Okay, I'll just hint to something we're going to discuss later.
You don't mean 1 out of 59. What happens?
I mean 1 to 59. I'll hint to something you say later. Where did Chazal get the number 60 from? So it's interesting. Did they get the number 60 by testing what's tasteable, b'mitzias, or by just making an arbitrary gzeira? The Rambam works much better if it's an arbitrary gzeira, because then you could say, okay, in Rabbanan, we take off one. If it's a matter of mitzias, like, yeah, why would Rabbanan take off one? Like, b'mitzias, you can taste it. We'll see, that's a good l'shitase. But the other interesting l'shitase is, I think, I'm sure this is Michlin, there's a famous Kesef Mishnah who asks, remember the Rambam Shita that every Issa Rabbanan is really? And it's a Daraisa of Losasser. So then they ask, so why suffered your Rabbanan Lekula? It's really Nisra Daraisa. And what's the answer?
That's Midaraisa Lekula.
Ah, so that's one answer. That's one answer, great. The other answer, which a lot of Rishonim give, is what the Kesef Mishnah says, based on the Ramban, is they just built into the Gzeira. When they were Gozer on the Rabbanan, they said, we're Gozer on this, but we build in that you can make a Makam Safik. And the Kesef Mishnah says, why were they built in they could be make a Bakum Safik? Because the Rambam, L'shitase and Bal Tosef. What does the Rambam say Bal Tosef means against the Ravid? This is really tangent. If you make a Gzeira and claim it's in the Torah, that's a violation of Bal Tosef, according to the Rambam. So therefore, the Kesef Mishnah says, yeah, whatever they made Drabbanans, they built in a lot of kulos just to make it clear that it wouldn't look like it was a Daraisa, not violate Bal Tosef. That worked very nicely here. Why would they say since Drabbanan will make it 59 instead of 60? Like, why would we take off one for Drabbanan? Like, it's not as if practically they were making a difference to us. Like, really? It makes our lives easier if it's 59 instead of 60? Like, you know, that makes no difference in our lives. It's not like, oh, the tzibur couldn't be omeid if we're gozer 60. We'll only gozer 59. But it makes a lot of sense. If they always wanted to build in things to Drabbanan just to remind you they weren't Daraisa, to avoid Bal Tosef, this is a good way to build it in. We made it gozer 60. You should know it's only 59 in Drabbanan. Just so you'll know that it's only Drabbanan. Okay, that's a theory.
Why do you say it's 1 out of 59? Maybe the cow is 6, and there's only 54.
Aha. So, give me a second. Says the Rashba. Okay, I think I'm gonna satisfy you now. Says the Rashba something, which is such a good hesber, that I have no kindness against the Rambam's lumdus. As a matter of fact, I supported the Rambam's lumdus, and I explained it with Shitase. But the Rashba is such a good hesber that you wonder why he needs it. Okay, there's an answer to that. We're not going to go into it now. Says the Rashba, very, very simple. You know why Chal has been a minion? What is the Chal? We are treated as if the Chal was all milk, right? Because we don't know how much milk is in there. So it's as if the whole Chal is milk. That's as if. But actually, the whole Chal is
meat.
Or at least more meat than milk, right? So the Chal is actually two things in one space. Now, it's not really. Really, you can't have two things in one space. Like, if it's one fluid ounce, it has to be X amount of milk and 1 minus X amount of meat. But, halachically, treat it as if it's all milk. But we can't deny that it's really meat. So the cow is actually two things in one space. It's milk and meat. And then it makes sense it's been a minion. The milk in the cow is the one, but the meat in the cow joins together with the other six, even about to the milk in the cow. So he says very logically, because cow is milk and also meat, so the meat counts towards 60 to be about all the milk. Like, it actually is two things in one. So it's not that they were makel to have 1 to 59. No, it actually is 1 to 60, because you count it as milk and count it as meat. So if you have 59 ounces of other meat and a cow, it's as if the cow is an ounce of milk and an ounce of meat. So you have 60 ounces of meat to 1 ounce of milk. It actually makes such logical sense that you wonder why the Rambam didn't say it. Okay, maybe you'll come up with the answer. We're not going to answer that now. I'll leave that to your own, not imagination, but your own logic. Good. Let's continue. If everything including the chal itself was 60 times as big as the chal, like there's another 59, now chal aser v'ashar moter, the chal is aser and everything's moter, if it was less than it, if it was not less than a 60th, if it was more than a 60th, there wasn't 60 mivatlet, how chal aser, everything's treif. Okay, so now we have another one. Let's have two scenarios. If the ratio was one chal and 58 basar, then it's all treif. Why is it all treif? Because the milk in the chal is not part of the b'shishim. Because we measure as if the whole chal is full of milk. By the way, that's a general rule. I cook in a pot. I cook milk in a fleshig pot. I want to know if the pot, the bleas in the pot are part of the b'shishim or not. How do I know how much meat is nivla in the pot? I assume the whole pot is full of meat. Because if I don't know how to measure, I assume it's all meat. Okay. What if, however, I had one chal and 59 meat? Then the chal has been a minion. Right, meaning according to the Rambam, that just means they were makel 1 to 59. According to the Rashi, that means it actually is 1 to 60, because the chal is two things at once. Then, what's the rule? The stew is mutter, but the chal atzmo is aser. Why is the chal atzmo aser? All the milk in the chal was bottled b'shishim to the stew. Why is the chal atzmo aser? Anyone? Why is the chal atzmo aser? Why is the chal atzmo aser? The Gemara says something about this. It says, oh, the Rabbanim made it like a piece of nevela. But it doesn't explain why. Here, there are three sheets of the Rishonim, quoted in the Shachan Taz here. The Rashba says what you would think is the most logical shita, except that it doesn't necessarily sound that way from the Gemara. Says the Rashba, because, let's think about this. It says the Rashba, because maybe a lot of milk is stuck in the cow. Maybe a lot of milk is stuck in the cow. Now, let's say the cow has a lot of milk stuck in it. What's the status of the milk in the cow? Meaning, maybe the milk did not dissipate through the whole stew. Maybe some of the milk dissipated through the stew, but some of the milk stayed in the cow. Right? That's what I mean. Maybe a lot of milk stayed in the pores of the cow. If there's a lot of milk that stayed in the pores of the cow and didn't dissipate throughout the soup, right, all the other Rishonim assume, no, when you cook the cow in a stew, all the milk inside dissipates into the whole stew and gets bottled. No, maybe there's a lot of milk stuck in the pores of the cow. What's the status of that milk stuck in the pores of the cow? What does it taste like now? It tastes like meat, because it was cooked in a whole stew of meat, so it's basar b'chalav. I mean, it's not the cow that's usher forever, but there's milk in the pores of the cow that's usher. Maybe no matter how much you cook a cow, a lot of milk will still be stuck in its pores. And that milk now absorbed the taste of meat, and it was cooked with meat, and it's basar b'chalav. And that milk,
Did the meat get the taste of the milk?
No, because there's a rule that, not a rule of halacha, a rule of metzias that we halachically assume. There's a rule that we'll see that if the milk started to give its taste to anything, it would have dissipated its taste through the whole pot. So, maybe a lot of milk is stuck in the pores of this cow, and that's treif milk, because it was cooked with meat. Therefore, it's still treif because of the milk inside. That's one theory. The Ran has another. The Tosos, let's say, has another theory. Says Tosos, at first,
a lot of milk was stuck in the pores of the cow.
At first, a lot of milk was stuck in the pores. In the end, after you cook the stew fully, all the milk dissipated through the whole stew and disappeared, right? Because anything that dissipates in 60 disappears. However, and when you let's say you cooked it you cooked it for 10 minutes. When you cooked it for 10 minutes, a lot of milk was still in the cow. It hadn't all dissipated yet. And that milk was treif because it absorbed the taste of meat. And became treif. So, Chazal were gozer that the cow stays treif. Meaning, since when you cooked it for 5 minutes, a lot of the milk was still in the cow, and that was treif milk, because it was cooked with meat. Even though when you cooked it for 3 hours, all the milk disappeared and dissipated and got bottled through the cholent. Since after 5 minutes of cooking, this cow was treif, Chazal were gozer that the cow stays treif. That's the Tosos. The Tosos is quoted here in the Shach. And the Ran, which is quoted in the Shach and the Taz, writes that the Lashon he uses is Maris Ayin. Says the Ran, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, says the Ran, that it looks like Basar B'Chalav. Really, the Kal is not really, shouldn't really be treif at all, but it looks like Basar B'Chalav, because after all, you put this thing in with milk and meat and cooked it, and it looks bad, and therefore there goes on it. So there are three opinions why, even if it's Batal B'Shishim, you still have to throw the Kal in the garbage. What are the three opinions? Opinion one, the Rashba. Who says all the milk dissipated? Maybe the milk's still stuck inside, so it's full of treif milk. So it's treif. Theory two, Tosfos. Starts like the Rashba. After 5 minutes, there was a lot of treif milk stuck inside. Then there were gozer that it's treif forever. Theory three, the Ran. No. It's just there were gozer that it's treif because it looks like Basar B'Chalav.
Would they reject the Rashba's?
Yes, they reject the Rashba's Metzius. Both Tosfos and the Ran reject the Rashba's Metzius. Parallel to that, but this is a slightly different case. That was about something that was nivla through heat. Can you then get it out again? Here it's something which just naturally is formed in the, you know, in the gland. Can you get that out? So it's a parallel. Is it efshar lischot, something that's part of a gland, that's formed in a gland?
And that's where.
Yes. That's my closing, the Rashba and everyone else. And then everyone else just argues between Tosfos and the Ran, they don't agree with the Rashba, and they agree it must be some special gzera the Chacham made. They just argue why the Chacham made a special gzera. They don't argue with Metzius. Okay, let's just finish this. Either way, if the Chal then falls into a second pot by accident, it can ask for the second pot, and you measure the same way as originally. The Chal Atzma Shabashal Nasa Chaticha Asura, the Chal Atzma became a piece of treif. Vein Masharbo Kamoshi Beishin, Esbashal Lo Kamoshi Beishin Afal. And you only measure it as it was when you cooked it, not as it was when it first fell in the first time. You measure it as it is when you see it after it's cooked. Okay, we're not getting to that now. We'll get back to that in Seven Sadiches. Pashtas, but I don't want to get into this. Now. Okay, after Ma fascinating machlokas, v'yesh omrim de nafal tchilu l'kdeir she'in v'shishim v'nesar ha'kal, and nafal chakrach l'kdeir acheres, ein ha'kal m'tzarf l'shishim v'chein ikar. Fascinating machlokas. Let's just review. And with this we'll end. What if then the cow falls into another stew? If it then falls into another stew. So in this case, right, then Misharin Bishishim Ukal Min Haminyan. What about in this case? Here we have a fascinating machlokas. Says the Mechaber and the Rambam, Misharin Deshishin Ukal Minaminyan. Same as before, says the Ramah and the Rashba. Misharin Deshishin the Ain Hakal Minaminyan. Now, how likely this ever happened is not my problem. It first falls into a pot, and there wasn't shishim kenegdo, even with it min haminyan. And then you take it out, and it falls into a second pot. Says the Mechaber, according to the Rambam, okay, again, you need 59 to 1, it counts towards 60. Says the Rambam, no, now it became treif, so it was in a treif pot. Now you need actually 60 to 1, you can't count it min haminyan. What's the nekudas hamachlokas between the Mechaber and the Rambam here? This is a big lumdus, every akron has their own shot. What's the Nekudas HaMachlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah? I will just, I'll pass a three shitas. What's the Nekudas HaMachlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah? Says the Taz. You know what the Nekudas HaMachlokas is? If this is only 1 to 58, even with Min HaMinyan, 1 to 59 is treif, this has become Basar B'Cholov. The whole pot's Basar B'Cholov. The whole pot's Basar B'Cholov, Doraisa or Dorabana? Dorabana, so Cholov Shchuta. Says the Taz, this is the machlokas we mentioned in the Simon Pei Zayin. Really in Bas Bechal Durabanan, what?
Would it be also Durabanan if it was real treif?
No, we treat it as a Doraisa, because it's a rule of thumb for Doraisa. I'm not talking about the Rambam here. Okay. They argue there's something called Chanan. When something comes Bas Bechal, do we assume it all became treif or not? Did it turn treif forever or not? So, they argue whether we say Chanan, Chatir Nas Nevelu, being treif forever by Bas B'Chol D'Rabbanan. The Mechaber says, it's only Bas B'Chol D'Rabbanan. It's not really treif, it's just meat and milk. Okay, so then you throw it into another pot, and you could say, okay, 59 to 1, it's meat and milk, so it counts. Well, the Ramah says, it's Bas B'Chanan by Bas B'Chol D'Rabbanan. It became a piece of treif, it's now treif forever. That's less likely because everyone argues that that's not really their shita of the Mechaber and the Ramah, and also it's more likely to be something local. The Prima Gadim says the best shot. It's just l'shitase right here. The Rambam says, you know why it's min haminyan? Because it's only Rabbanan. Here it's taka mid Rabbanan. It's still mid Rabbanan. The Rash says, you know why it's min haminyan? Because it's milk and meat, and the milk part is a problem, the meat part is not, so it counts both. But after it was cooked in a pot of Basar B'Cholov, the milk and the meat part are both equally treif. They're all Basar B'Cholov. And therefore, it can't count Min HaMinyan. That, I think, is the best shot, is the Prima Gadim. The Rebbe Kiva Eger says a third shot, which is very long. He says it's Mechaber and Ramah L'shitase over here. Where Chazal only goes on the Tarovis of other meat with Chol of Shkuta, Mechaber, or even on Tarovis of its own meat of the other with the Chol of Shkuta. So the Rabbi Kivager said very longishly, says, what happened in this case? He says, is only the milk part treif, or is the meat part treif also? According to the Mechaber, there were only gozer on the Tarovis of the Chol of the Chal with other meat. So the Chol of part is treif because it mixed with the taste of other meat. The Basar part of the Chal is not treif because it only mixed with its own milk. And therefore, it has kosher basar or treif chalav in it, so it counts for both. The Ramah, the Shitasa, even tarovas of its own meat with its own milk is treif. So its own meat, its own milk, are ha'arif. Now it's inherently treif, and therefore, it doesn't count in a minyan. Okay, if you follow that, you follow that. If not, if you have time, look it up in Rikivi Eger or Finasmanim. I think the most poshut answer to this, though, is just the Ramah and Rashba, the Shitasa. It works out well. The Ramah is quoting the Rashba, the Mechaber is quoting the Rambam. Why is Chal min haminyan? If it's min haminyan, it's drabanan. No matter what you combine and what happens, it's only drabanan, so it's min haminyan. According to the Rashba, it's min haminyan because the milk part of it is a problem, but the meat part of it is great. It's kosher. Yeah, but once you cooked it in a pot of Basar B'Cholov, now the milk part and the meat part are both treif. If it's all treif, it doesn't count min haminyan. That's the Prima Gadim's hasver. I will leave the rest to whoever wants to be mashlim over Bein Hazmanim. I think that will be it for Simon Tzadi. We'll pick up Mir Tzadi. The next year will be... Is today today's Sunday? The next year will be in 3 weeks from today. 3 weeks from today, the Sunday after Yontif. And we'll start Simon Tzadi Aleph. So I'd suggest everyone, you have the rest of Seder today. You have tomorrow. You have the Thursday after Yontif. So we have plenty of Seder days left until the next year. So to start, get a head start on Simon Tzadi Aleph, which is going to go back to things that are really everyday halacha l'maisa. Are you also there? It's a little known fact, but the postcard Mikhail, there's no shot ball posted.